Reading of God's Word tonight, and I am going to be brief. We've got to get to the business of the ugliest Hawaiian shirt, of which I am not wearing, in case you're wondering, and I am not available to win the prize, so I cannot be submitted on the ballot to vote for. I appreciate such tenacity by many of you to explain to me already before the church started that my shirt was heinous. And that it was really a mistake. One person who will remain unnamed at least to the end of the service said, "Did you wear that on purpose?" And I thought, wow, okay, this is how you want to roll. All right. So anyway, that person who's a female will remain unnamed at least until such time as God reveals it to me that she needs to be named. But by the way, you know you are. No, I'll leave it at that. Anyway, so I can't be on the ballot. Whether you like the shirt or not, it's the one in front of you, and so I'm going to wear it, all right? Acts chapter 6. I love the book of Acts because Acts is really the obedience of God's people. It is everything you want in the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit saying, do this, and you saying yes, and seeing the results of that. And Stephen is one of those characters that are just an amazing testimony. I want to read a little bit about him tonight. The Bible says in verse 5 of Acts chapter 6, let's go back and just cover here just for a few minutes. The first four verses, the widows come, the Grecian widows come and they say, hey, listen, we've got some people who have needs and nobody's taking care of those needs and we need help. And so the apostles say, okay, look, here's what you need to do. You need to look among you and you need to see, a certain characteristic of people. And then you need to choose people, to appoint over this matter because we've got some preaching and teaching and discipleship making to do. So the Bible says in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now, let me just take as a side note this and say, many of you have said, you know, this week was huge, and it was awesome how everybody filled in and how everybody was working. And because of that, I believe today's service was the way that it was. Because the Bible says here, when these men engaged in serving, the word of God increased. And there were people that were added to the church. Why? Because the body was functioning like a well-oiled machine. It was doing what a body does, working together. If you've seen anybody that ever struggles with MS or cerebral palsy, their body is not working together. It's fighting itself. And it looks out of ordinary. And we don't want to have a body of Christ here that's working against each other. We want to work together. And that's the beauty of this passage is that, and it's not even what I'm preaching on, but you see it. You see the family of God coming together and how the word of God increased here. And so, verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which was called the synagogue of Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, I'll explain that in a minute, which said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, verse 13, and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. I want you to notice very carefully verse 15, because it's the crux of the whole thing. And all that sat in council looked steadfastly on him, watch, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Lord, we sure love you and we thank you for the amazing week that we've had. Thank you for every hand that was put to the plow this week. And I thank you, Father, that none of them looked back. And Lord, they set the they set the pace themselves. They set the thermostat, if you will, and the standard for this church this week. And my God, how you blessed to see so many kids that have never been in our church before come. And 10 of them get saved is miraculous. It's marvelous because it's your doing. And we are so thankful and we praise you and thank your holy name for it. Now, God, tonight as we meet again, I pray that you would give me wisdom and give me unction from your Holy Spirit. Give me clarity of thought, strengthen my voice, and help me tonight, Lord, to give the sense of this passage in a way that we would take personally. And this week we would not stop what you have begun in us. God, thank you for the wonderful service this morning. There's such a sweet spirit of worship and such tender hearts. And God, we need to carry that into this week. And I believe, Lord, if we're not careful, we could be sensing a movement of God. And you could be doing something greater than we've ever expected, all because we're sensitive to your spirit. I pray, God, that you do that tonight. Give us understanding as your people. Bless the fellowship to follow. Help us just to continue to edify one another by the grace of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Probably if I took a survey, every one of us in here has probably spilled a glass over at some awkward occasion and you didn't mean to. The title of the message, if you want to write it down, is Everyone Spills. Has anybody ever spilled like you were out somewhere or you're at a dinner and you reached across and poof, ooh, anybody ever spill? Am I the only one? Okay. I'm like the chief spiller. Jenna is coming up closer to be almost like a chief spiller like me, but in fact, it's kind of like the vacation habit. If we're on vacation, we're just kind of watching Jenna because it's going to happen at somewhere for in time. It's just going to knock over a Coke, a lemonade. Something's going to happen. But really, if you look back at it, every one of us spill. We all do. We've all done it since we were little. Whether we did it on purpose or if we did it on accident, we've all spilled. And now, the thing that's really not profound about this is that whatever is in that cup is what spills out. If you put lemonade in the cup and you knock it over, what's going to come out? Lemonade. I saw a great sign on vacation. Said, if life hands you lemons, hand it back and ask for coffee. I'm sorry. If life hands you lemons, yeah, give it back and ask for a cup of coffee. It was at a coffee shop. I was right the first time, kind of blew the whole punchline. But anyway, you know, I can't tell a joke to save my life. If they said, tell a joke and make me laugh or I'll shoot you, I'd be like, hey, just pull the trigger because I can't. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Anyway, whatever's in the cup, you understand. Whatever's there, you're not going to knock over something that's not in the cup. All right. And so it is with our life. Whatever you put in is going to come out. Now, as a side note, you can get around some people and without even knocking them over, so to speak, without even jostling them, whatever comes out is kind of what's coming in. You ever stand, just talk with somebody, and the only thing that comes out is Fox News? Right? You just talk to people, and this country is this, and the liberals that, and the conservatives are this, and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, whoa, man, you need to turn that TV off and change the channel or something. You know, sometimes you get around people, all they want to talk about is money. You get around some ladies, all they want to talk about is shopping and the sales and all that kind of stuff. Not really. You guys are not like that. You're far too spiritual to talk about all that kind of stuff. You get around some guys, all they want to talk about is sports. You know what I mean? And that's because that's what's in. But if you really want to find out what's inside somebody, you just knock them over. You jostle them a little bit. You have something happen that was not expectant to happen. And all of a sudden, what comes out is really what's deep down inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, finish it with me, the mouth speaketh. What spills when you get bumped? When you're going through your life and things seem to be going according to your plan, and you get knocked over, you get jostled a bit. We were flying back from Michigan, and the pilot had to come on and say, you know, we want everybody to return to their seats. We're going to suspend service because of the turbulence. And it just happened to be like because it was like four rows before my service. It would have been okay if it would have been after my service. But, you know, four rows before my service, I'm thinking, dude, look, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that real, you know, it's shaking a little bit. We all shake, all right, a little bit. But just bring me the Coke and bring me the pretzels or whatever. And he does that because he doesn't want it to spill, right? And he wasn't planning on it, but it's happening. And so, but when you hit some turbulence in your life, What comes out? What spills out of you? Because whatever you're putting in is going to come out. Many of us are familiar with the story of Stephen. I believe his life is a tremendous example, not only of how to live, but also how we can respond when life gets bumpy, when we hit those times where times of turbulence or trial. I don't know about you. I'm getting older. And sometimes, you ever gone through a parking lot and because of lighting or whatever, you're not paying attention, you don't see the speed bump? You know what I'm talking about? You know what a speed bump is, right? Whether it's the long ones or whether it's the short ones that seem like they're a mini Everest and you didn't plan for it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever missed one of those? And you're like, holy Toledo. And you didn't mean it. And your family's like, gee, Dad, what are you doing? And you're like, I didn't know it was there. I didn't see it. Get off my back. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? And it happens and it kind of jostles you. That's what I'm talking about. The stuff that we don't see. When you hit that bump, what comes out? I want you to take your outlines in. It's a real brief outline. It's only three simple points, but I think they're very powerful, and we can learn a whole lot from looking at Stephen's life. First of all, I just want us to think and consider Stephen's reputation, all right? Now, the beautiful thing about the Word of God is it's God's testimony about these people, but even more so about Stephen, it's the people's testimony of Stephen. They were charged with finding a certain person that met the criteria of the servantship of the Lord here in this church. And they said, look, you don't want to trust serving people and helping people with just anybody because they'll stop doing it. It won't be sincere. You don't want them to get cattywampus and you don't want them to have some kind of cynicism about the ministry. You want someone full of the Holy Ghost. You want someone who's honest. You want someone who has some spiritual maturity about them. And so what did they do? The congregation started looking around. And the Bible says that they chose Stephen. That they looked at Stephen and they could tell, that guy's full of the Holy Spirit. By the way, what a reputation to have. If there's somebody among us that's walking in the Spirit of God, wouldn't it be great for someone to say, if there's one thing I could say about that person, that if I was in charge of writing their epitaph, it would be there full of the Holy Ghost. What a statement. And yet that's what the Bible says. The people of the church were instructed to find a specific kind of Christian, someone who's honest, full of the Holy Ghost, and wise. Someone who was full of faith. And they found, and the Bible leads us to believe that chosen first was Stephen. And then it adds that he was of great faith. Now, because we know the story to the end of it, we also know that he was a man who was bold in his witness. He was the kind of individual that made sure that the people around him knew exactly what he believed. There was no questioning what Stephen was all about. That was his reputation according to Scripture. By the way, Stephen was not an apostle. He wasn't a God-called preacher or pastor. He was just a Christian. He was someone that got saved, didn't have a pedigree of religiosity. He was not a Pharisee. He was not someone that had this big conversion experience on the road to Damascus. He was just a church member. He was just a man. You could say he was a lot like us. Just someone who attended the church of Jerusalem. And yet they chose him because of his walk. What a reputation. He was doing great things for God. He was the man who heard the gospel, was saved, and then tried to reach his own crowd with the gospel. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, notice what it says, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Did you know what? Can I just say this? God wants to use you. He does. And the only way that he can't or won't use you is if you don't make yourself available. Because he wants to use you. There are people like Stephen in this room that could leave tonight and get up tomorrow and walk in the Spirit and the power of God. And people would take note and say, hey, that's the reputation of a Christian. That person knows Jesus. They took note of them, though they were ignorant and unlearned, that they had been with Jesus. Same thing with Stephen. And then all of a sudden, as things were going well, apparently, not only did he have this reputation, as things were going well, all of a sudden, he hit the speed bump. All of a sudden, he was jostled. All of a sudden, there was turbulence. His life was bumped, was jostled, it was choked. And his character, what was in him, came out. What was the jolting? Well, we see Stephen's reputation. Secondly, we just see the sinful report. Verses 9 through 14, the Bible uses the word they suborned men. You can circle or highlight or underline that word. The word means they bribed them. They used whatever means. Some indicate that they bribed them with money. The other part of the word would indicate it wasn't just money, but it was some kind of influence or leverage. That they found men that would bring a lie about him personally. Now, if you've ever been lied about and it wasn't true, it doesn't feel very good. It's very hurtful. You could use some vernacular like he was stabbed in the back and none of it was true. He wasn't speaking what they were saying. He may have said, Jesus said that if you destroy this temple, I will raise it. Speaking of the temple of his body, that's what the gospel says that Jesus said. But they took it and totally distorted it like the devil does and totally deceived the people. They bribed these people to bring up this false accusation. They lied against him that he was speaking, really, if you can allow me to paraphrase, speaking against the word of God. That everything they knew to be true from the law of Moses going forward into the prophets, that Stephen was against it, that he was speaking against the word of God. In fact, that they were speaking against God himself. The Bible says that he spoke blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And that somehow he was speaking that this Jesus was going to tear apart all the law and do away with all the customs and bring something else in. Which, by the way, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. Now, that was the lie. His good, you could say, was being evil spoken of. His cup was being shaken. How? By accusation. Some people do that on social media. Some people do it on email. Some people do it just deceitfully behind people's back. In hallways where no one else stands, or in closets or in doorways, they just do it word of mouth. They deceitfully destroy someone's reputation. Then, of course, we know he was arrested. Eventually, it would be painful, but all of this deceit and all of this was the jolting, if you will. Now, he had this reputation. Now, all of a sudden, this lie comes, the sinful report comes. I wonder what would come out. Well, we see at the end of the passage, look at verse 15. After he gets put before the council, after all the lies, and all that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him. I wonder what he's going to say now. Now that we've got him, I wonder what's going to come out of him. Notice what it says. Looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, if you've ever read that, you probably have. You kind of probably thought, I wonder what that means. I wonder, what's that look like for me? There's a new craze, this aging app that's going around. How many have ever heard of it? How many have tried it? Yeah, I saw yours, Leo. Pretty scary. In fact, I was going to put it up there, but I thought better. I really thought better. Your brothers look way better than yours, by the way. So my kids are running through the house and they're laughing hysterically and they come to me and say, Dad, I want to take your picture. And I was like, why are you going to take my picture? Because I'm going to do this thing. And they were like, take your glasses off. I said, I don't want to do this. No, take your glasses off. Okay. So take my glasses off. And they're like, and they turn around. They're like, they start laughing. Do you know who I look like? My father. I was like, the diet starts now. And we're going to have a Botox party fellowship at church. And I'm going to have I literally thought I was depressed. I just turned 50. I don't feel good. My feet ache, my joints. And I thought, oh my goodness. I literally was astonished at how awful I looked. Especially, and then my friend, I thought it was my friend, Carlos shows me his and he goes, look how good I look. And he looked great. It was like the Jack LaLanne of the Panetto family. It was amazing. Hardly any wrinkles, salt and pepper. And I thought, oh man, if I could just be Latino one day. It's amazing. I mean, the guy is ageless, right? Not you, Leo. Carlos. I just want to make sure we understand. So you, yeah, no. No, I know which one it was. No, watch. I know this much. When I looked at that phone, that was not the face of an angel. That's what I know for sure. It was my face with about 40 pounds from here up I think my nose was about 15 pounds of it, to be honest with you. You know, they say when you get older, your nose gets bigger. And I was like, great day. I must be 150 because that sucker's that big around. It's huge. But I know this. It wasn't what I would picture as the face of an angel. I didn't look at it and go, oh, that's what they look like in heaven. I didn't say that. I know for sure. I know for sure. It's not that funny, Sandy. Stop. I know for sure that was not the face of an angel. But when you look at this, what comes upon your mind? I want you to just to contemplate for a minute. I don't think Stephen woke up that morning and thought, I'm going to get arrested. And they're going to threaten me. In fact, if you read chapter 7, he's going to be stoned. And he never lost the face of an angel. In fact, he looked up and said, Lord, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. Now, that's the amazing part about it, is that what was in him came out. They saw him. Watch this. What's an angel? As a messenger of God. That's what they saw. They saw him as someone who was representing God the Father in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of a circumstance that he didn't foresee. He didn't plan. You can plan that. They saw him as a messenger of God. They saw him as one that lives ever in the presence of God. Wouldn't that be great for God to have that testimony about us? When we get bumped, when we get knocked over, that people would say, man, I don't understand how that guy or that girl, that lady responded like that. I mean, if I was told that I had the C word, if this would have happened to me, you just have such a peace about you. You know that angels in heaven, they don't worry. They're peaceful. You know what they do? They always do the will of God immediately and fully. Remember when Jesus said, "In thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Do you know what angels are always doing? They're always beholding the face of God, and they're always praising God, even in the midst of circumstances. Now, the Bible doesn't indicate that Paul had that kind of face, but he had that kind of attitude and action. Because when him and Silas were in jail, they didn't plan on that day. The Bible says they sang praises unto God until midnight. And somebody, because of that, got saved. By the way, I don't find it coincidental that Stephen was in this very hour before Paul. Paul, the Bible says, in the later chapter, would be holding the clothes of the ones that were stoning Stephen. He beheld the face of an angel. He saw, and God changed his life, and then he reiterated it down the line. That's amazing to me. That's an unbelievable testimony of being knocked over, spilt out, and that's what comes out. Angels are privy to the holiness of God without the veil of flesh. You read the Psalms sometimes, and it feels like, to me at least, that the psalmist, whether it's David, Asaph, or whoever it is, it almost seems like they're like Moses. They're right before God. They're standing in his presence. That's what they saw in Stephen when he got knocked over. That's how they saw his face. You could say it this way. His response was unshaken. His faith never faltered. And his witness never wavered. It was just steadfast. When he got bumped, love came out to God. The grace of God came out. The enabling grace of God that's sufficient for every need, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, came out. Mercy came out. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, because this mob was going to accelerate very quickly. Truth would come out. The angels can't speak anything but truth. When you get bumped, what comes out? How is it possible that Stephen could do this? Because Stephen was a Christian who followed the words of Christ. Turn your Bible in the next, we're going to be done in 4 minutes. Matthew chapter 5. Stephen was a Christian who followed the words of Christ. Now remember what I said earlier, he was an apostle. He was not an apostle. He wasn't somebody who had apostolic authority. He wasn't somebody who walked with Jesus 3.5 years, didn't witness the resurrection of Christ. He just got saved by hearing the gospel of Christ. And yet what did he do is he followed Jesus' words. Now, walk with me as we listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I have to believe that somewhere along the line, Stephen was privy to that. Because when Jesus commanded the apostles to go and teach all nations, he said, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So this being the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, I have to believe, because of who was there and who were inspired to write the books, that they would have passed this down. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Look down, if you will, in verse 44. Jesus, in the same chapter, one of the longest sections of Jesus' words in the Bible, says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and unjust. Now he's following the words of Christ. Now would you turn to John chapter 17 and we're done. He's living out the very words that Jesus would speak on the Mount of Beatitudes. This is the place where the McCrossons and I, and who else went with us here? Brother Keene's been there with us, and Miss Cassie, and stood, and we opened up the Word of God, and it was an amazing place, but Stephen wasn't there. He took it secondhand. And so it wasn't a matter of, well, if I walked with Jesus, I would be on fire and be able to tell people. No. He was just a Christian who got it from somebody who was there. Now look at John 17. Now Jesus has said, this is what the people who have true joy, true fulfillment, the blessedness of God, that's the way how they should live. Now watch John 17 and how we get to that place. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What was in Stephen? Mark it down. It was the word of God. It was the words of Jesus Christ. It was the eternal word of God that allowed him to look like an angel when he got knocked over. So I'm going to close by saying this. What's your reputation? What's your reputation at work? What's your reputation at home? I guess what I'm asking is, when your life gets bumped, what comes out of it? I think it's good to be reminded, if we want good stuff to come out when we get bumped, then we've got to put good stuff in. We've got to make sure that the right things are inside. And Jesus said, I've given you one thing that separates you and gives you victory over those that hate you and persecute you. It is my word. John 17:17, just 3 verses later, you can read it in your Bible. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me give you 3 things you can write down real quick. How to make sure when you get knocked over, the right stuff spills out. Number one, would you just commit to God tonight to spend time in His Word? Spend time with God. Get His Word into your life. You could write the word saturate. In Michigan, not a whole lot of people water their grass because it's like 100% humidity during the summertime and they get a lot of rain and whatnot. Not a lot of people have even sprinkler systems in Michigan. And we were going by one particular place, and I said to Tim, I said, why are they running their sprinklers? And he said, well, they want to keep the grass green. They're living in a spot that's a little less, you know, it tends to, when the sun comes out, there's not a lot of shade, it'll turn brown, kind of like it does out here. And he said, you just have to water more. And I said, well, does that mean that, you know, because my grass is not in the shade? He goes, no, if you want it to stay green, you just got to water it more. If you want your life to thrive, you got to water it more. You got to saturate it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let me give you another one. Be faithful to church. So why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because in this pulpit and in those classrooms, we teach and preach the word of God. And that is going to undergird, it's going to confirm, it's going to help you resolve everything that you should be reading already.
That's right, amen.
When I come to this pulpit, it ought not be that I'm revealing something that you haven't already come across in the Word of God. I shouldn't be teaching you anything new from this book. That's the beauty of being a Baptist, is that I'm not going to collect all the books and say, well, now you can't interpret it yourself. I'm going to have to tell you what it actually says. No, you can know what it says because God said exactly what He meant.
Amen.
You can do that. So when you come, just let me confirm what's already going on in your heart and make a commitment to serve the God that's revealing Himself to you. Well, that's just there. Let me give you another one. Rehearse the goodness of God and His sovereignty. We talked about that today. Time has a way of erasing whatever is not rehearsed. I forget. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? I read this quote this week and I thought about this message. Jesus is laying down in the Beatitudes rules of conduct for those who have the Spirit of God. By the simple argument of these verses, He urges us to keep our minds filled with the notion of God's control behind everything, which means that the disciple must remain in an attitude of perfect trust and eagerness to ask and think. Or, I'm sorry, to ask and see. Remember, Stephen got bumped. Our tendency is to think, I got to do something about this. I've got to correct this. I need to take control of it. And yet here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus is saying, by the way, in the same context of the Sermon on the Mount, He's saying, look, when these things happen, you need to rest in the fact that I'm in control. And if you need something, ask. And if you really need it, I'll give it to you. That's trust. That's trusting in the circumstances. That's trusting in what I need through the circumstances. And God says, that's the blessed man. Let me give you another thing real quick you can write down. Listen to the Spirit of God and respond as He leads. That's what angels do. The Bible says that they looked steadfastly on His face and they saw it as it had been the face of an angel. Everyone spills. We just have to be reminded tonight that whatever we're filled with is what's going to come out. You may be spilled this week. You may have something that you're not expecting happen. And I hope and pray that what comes out of you will be what God put in you today and what you'll have in you tomorrow. And that'll be the good things from the Word of God, because that's what He's given to us. We can never overstate how important it is to have the Word of God in our heart. Father, we sure love You and we thank You for a good day. We thank You, Lord, for the fellowship of the believers. But I thank You for the fellowship of the Son of the living God that lives inside of us. I thank You for the precious Holy Spirit of God that is with us each and every day. You have fulfilled, and every single day You are fulfilling that promise that You would never leave us, that You would never forsake us. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the unprecedented testimony of Stephen. Lord, one of the most powerful stories in all of the New Testament, because he was just like us, regular people. He wasn't an apostle. He was a child of the living God, who had the Spirit of God living inside of him, who was submissive and subjected to the, not only to the Spirit of God, but to the will of God. And for him, it meant a short-lived life as a Christian. But God, he did Your will perfectly. And it stands as a testament. Lord, many of us would say that we're saved largely in part, and especially in this country, because of Paul's faithfulness to go and preached to the masses, much like D.L. Moody. But God, just like D.L. Moody had a Sunday school teacher that led him to Christ, Stephen's life is the reason that Paul came to Christ. So God, we thank You for people like that. And I wonder tonight, Lord, if there's a Stephen in our midst, that Lord, because of them, they would make a difference in a life who would make an unbelievable difference. And Lord, we promise that anything good in us or comes out of us is all because of You. Help us to be filled with the right things. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight if we could say, Pastor, I feel burdened tonight. I feel pricked in my heart. I want to have the right things in me so that when I get jostled, the right things will come out. Would you pray for me as I pray during this invitation? How many would say, Pastor, that's my prayer today. Is this I just want to have the good things, the right things come out. All right, you can put your hands down. How many would say, real quickly, nobody looking around, Pastor, pray for me. I got jostled. I've been jostled the last week or two, and the right things didn't come out. I want to ask God to forgive me, and I want to change and fix that. By the grace of God, I want to ask Him to help me, and I want to work on that specifically. How many would say that tonight? Pastor, pray for me. I need to do some business with God. All right, we see those hands. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays for us tonight. Father, we come before You, and the hands that were raised are our hands, I believe, that are sincere, that they love You, and that they're children of the living God, and they have a desire, Lord, to do Your will in their life. They want the right things to come out. God, I pray that You would help us all to put in the right things so that when we're knocked over, the right things will come out. I pray for those, Lord, many of us, myself included, in the last week or two, we got jostled, we got knocked over, and the wrong things came out. And Lord, I'm so grateful that You don't require perfection, but I'm so thankful that we have the perfect advocate, and we have the perfect sacrifice. And God, we thank You for Your mercy, and I pray, God, that we'd not just find it tonight, but that we would make it, Lord, the beacon of hope back to You. We would not turn our back as we talked to this morning, but rather we would turn our face to You, and I pray that You would be glorified in all of it. I pray that You'd bless our fellowship to come. I pray that You would bless, Lord, these people. Thank You for their service, and I pray that You would encourage them and help our families, Lord, to be have the right reputations this week, and help us to make a difference. Help us to follow every leading of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be bold to speak and free to speak Thy name when given the opportunity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.